Okay, Shalom Uvracha to everybody. Yom Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos class learning. I just want to clarify something. Last week, when I noticed my mother-in-law was there at the end of Shir, and I said, better late than never, I did not mean it's better that she joined late than never. I meant better that I should welcome her better late than never. So I think it may be misunderstood. I meant I should welcome her better late than never. So this evening, I'm making sure, Ima, you all understood what Malki Soldin said. Phew. I don't know if the people on Mayu Torah understood, so I'm saying this on recording. So I see my mother-in-law is here, and I'm welcoming you, Ima, in the beginning of the shiur this evening. All right. Let me thank tonight's sponsors. Last week, we didn't have a sponsor. And Baruch Hashem, our online listeners, Tizku the Mitzos, Ulamaisim Tovim. The shiur tonight is in your merit. So I thank all of you. The Orizamik, in order that they were received. Our dear friend, the Orizamik, has never sponsored before. So Shachianu, thank you, Leora, for sponsoring. Leora and I sometimes work together. She sends out weekly short Divrei Torah via WhatsApp, and sometimes she asks me to contribute under 5 minutes. So I appreciate this chus to share Torah. The Or Zamik is sponsoring in honor of the English birthday, December 28th, Bo Bayam, and the Hebrew birthday, 26th Teves, Chaf Vav Teves, and in this chus for the Shidduch, the Zivug Hagun Bekorov. Kosh Baruch Hu should find the Ezer Kenegdo and send very quickly Leora Netanya Bas Rachel, to be B'Sha Tova, the right one in the right time. The other sponsor is Marilyn and Neil Gittleman. They are sponsoring the Lui Nishma Shlomo Shmuel Ben Yitzchak Alav Hashem, as well as the Lui Nishmas Branya Bas Dov Alah HaShalom, both Neshama Shav Elios and the merit of these Divrei Torah that we will share this evening, sponsored by Marilyn and Neil Gittleman. Neil Gittleman, MD and Associates, Pediatrics, Lakewood, New Jersey. They are seeking a pediatrician to join an established practice near the Jersey Shore. Marilyn wrote, I remember the bullet marks in my father's back. At 9 years old, he was told to strip and lined up to be shot. He survived in the woods without family. Despite his experience, he was always loving and supportive. Furthermore, Branya Bastov Brenda watched her mother die in the boat a day before they arrived in America. But no one knew a more fun and generous soul. After all the traumas, they chose to be nurturing, generous people. And we hope that the shir will be a zchus for the aliyah of the neshamos. And finally, Miriam Nussbaum is sponsoring. This evening is Arlayom Yud Zayin Teves, which is the actual date of her husband's yurtzeit. Miriam wrote, Alan Nussbaum, Lezeich Nishmas Asher, Ben Eliezer, Zichrono Levracha, whose seventh yurtzeit is this evening / tomorrow, Yud Zayin Teves. He was a loving and appreciated husband, father, grandfather, son, brother, and friend. Quiet and unassuming. He took every opportunity to be helpful to individuals as well as to organizations and shuls close to the heart. His wise counsel and clear thinking, along with his astute and dry sense of humor, were sought after and valued by friends and loved ones alike. Alan was raised in the Washington Heights community. He passed on the Mesorah and Minhagim that were such an integral part of who he was to his children. He is sorely missed by all who knew him and loved him. Bevias HaGoel, Yehi Zichro Baruch. We thank the Orizamik, Neil Gitteman, MD and Associates, Marilyn and Neil Gitteman, as well as Miriam Nussbaum, Tizku the Mitzos, Ulamaisim Tovim. Let us go into our learning this evening. Let me start to screen share. 1 second. I just want to make sure, yeah, they're all here, but I want to make sure that they are where they're supposed to be. Okay. Here we go. Okay, so you should be able to see that I am in Pirkei Avos, Parak Aleph of Pirkei Avos. Yes, you can see. Okay, very good. Fine. So we're going all the way to the end of Pirkei Avos, Parak Aleph, all the way to the end of Parak Aleph, the final Mishnah. It's a Mishnah we have done before, but we are going to do a piece on it that we have not done before. The Mishnah, so in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, actually, let's look, okay? Right in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, Perek Av Mishnah Beis, Shimon HaTzadik tells us, Al Shlosh Adraim HaOlam Omeid, the world stands on three things, Al HaTorah V'Al HaAvod V'Agmils Chasadim. We have spoken about this Mishnah as well. Torah learning, Avodah, which Rabbeinu Yonah says used to be Karbanos, and today it means Tefillah, and acts of loving kindness are the pillars upon which the world stands. At the end of Perek Alef, however, we have three other pillars upon which the world stands, the world exists, I should should say. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Perak Aleph Mishnah Yirchas, final Mishnah in Perak Aleph. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, Al shlosha dvarim ha'olam kayam. Upon three things is the world is upheld. Upon three things is the world upheld. Al ha-din, ve'al ha-emes, ve'al ha-sham. What is the world upheld on? Din, justice, executing justice, law, proper judgment, ba'al ha'emes, and upon the truth, midvar sheker, tirchak, parashas mishpatim. We know that the first pasuk of Chumash does not have a shuruk in it. It has all the nekudos, bereishis bara Elokim, isa shemayim v'isa aretz. It has all the nekudos, the vowelizations. It does not have the shuruk, the u, because the shuruk, when you scramble the letter, spells sheker, and there is no semblance of sheker in the first pasuk, in the foundation of Torah. Furthermore, the names of the patriarchs and the matriarchs, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, also have all the nekudos. They also do not have a shuruk, because the patriarchs, the Avos and the Mahos, were Yesharim. They lived lives of absolute emes. The Midah of Yaakov Avinu, of course, is Titein Emes Yaakov. Furthermore, the Gemara tells us very clearly, Shabbos Nun Hey, Shabbos 55, Chos Moshel Kodesh Baruch Hu Emes, the seal of a Kodesh Baruch Hu is Emes. And finally, the Aleph Beis, the first, middle, and last letter of the Aleph Beis spells the word Emes, Aleph, Mem, Tav, because Emes is the hallmark and the foundation of our Aleph Beis, which is the foundation of Torah, which is what upholds Kaisha. Okay. Ashosh Dvarim Olam Kayam, Aladin Va'amas Va'alashon. But tonight I don't want to speak about Din, and I don't want to speak about Emes. As important as those two are, what we will be learning about and exploring tonight is the Midah of the attribute of the necessity. You know, you see, these three things hold up the world. So that means they are all essential, Din, Emes, and Shalom. Shanamra, like the Pasuk says in Zechariah, the Mishnah quotes, Emes u'mishpat shalom shifti b'sharichem. So the Pasuk says, Emes u'mishpat shalom shifti b'sharichem. Truth, justice, and peace you shall administer in your gates and minister in your cities. So this is the proof that the Tana brings. If I tell you that the world needs all these three things to be upheld, Emes, Mishpat, and Shalom. I'm going to talk about the pillar of Shalom. Shalom is so important in our lives that the Birkas Kohanim ends with, Yivrecha Shem Vishmecha Ya'er V'yaseim Lecha Shalom. Ashmona Esrei every day, Sim Shalom Tovu V'recha Hashem Yivarechas Amo B'Shalom. The Shmona Esrei, our Tfila, the Amida, ends with Shalom. The Birkas Kohanim, which every day is given in Eretz Yisrael, in Chutz La'aretz, only in the Mesach Edum Mizrach congregations every day. Otherwise, we have it on the Yomim Tovim. The Birkas Kohanim ends with Shalom. The Amida ends with Shalom. The Birkas Hamazon ends with Shalom. Rashi tells us in the beginning of Bechukosai, Parak Chavav Avayikra, Im Ein Shalom, Ein Klum. If there's no peace, there's nothing. It's interesting that the Mishnah lists Shalom last, because we do have a principle. It's a Torah principle. Achron, Achron, Chaviv. We just had it recently when Rachel won last to meet Esav. Achron, Achron, Chaviv. The last is the most precious. So do we need Din? Absolutely. Do we need Emes for the world to exist? I brought you many proofs from the names of the Imahos, the Nekudos and Avos, the Nekudos of the first Pasuk of the Torah, the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the first, last, middle and last letter of the Aleph Beis. But nevertheless, Shalom is last. Achron, Achron, Chaviv. And without Shalom, in Ein Shalom, Ein Klum. Why did I choose to do this Mishnah with you this evening? That is because you should see that I switched to Bereishis. Yeah, okay, very good. Why did I choose to do this Mishnah with you this evening? The reason is because Parshas Vayechi, which is the last Parsha in the book of Bereishis, ends with the lesson of Shalom. Well, it ends with many lessons. One of the lessons that we learn from the end of Sefer Bereishis, I should say, is Shalom. So what happens? Yaakov Avinu dies. Right? In Parshas Vayechi, both Yaakov and Yosef die. After Yaakov Avinu dies, Perek Nun Pasuk Aleph, Yosef falls upon the face of his father, and he cries, and he kisses him. They embalm his father. They make a big mourning for his father. Vayal Yosef v'kbaras aviv. Remember, Yaakov's last dying request was, Al nasik bereini b'mitzrayim. Do not leave me in Egypt for burial. You must take me up to the Meribah HaMechpelah v'shachavti mavosai. I will lay with my forefathers, u'kuvartani b'kuvasam, bury me in their grave. So they go do a whole funeral procession, and they take the body of Yaakov back up to the Meribah HaMechpelah. Okay. I just want to point out something interesting. I'm just stopping for a minute. I was learning with somebody this afternoon in a private session. And I posed a question that I don't have an answer for. I didn't even have time. Actually, I didn't even think about it from the time of my session this afternoon until I'm speaking right now. So we know this is not on the topic of Shia. I'm posing a question that I don't have an answer for. Maybe someone knows an answer. Maybe someone will hear online and reach out with an answer. It's an interesting question. When did Leah die? When was she buried in the Meribah HaMechpelah? It's not recorded anywhere. To my knowledge, Rashi and Chumash does not speak about it. Avram and Sarah, it's very clear. Pashas Chayisar. Yitzchak dies and his sons bury him in the Meribah HaMechpelah. Rivka, there is an allusion to Vatamas Devora Meinekes. Rivka, Rashi tells us about Rivka's death. Rachel, Perek Lahamed, hey, clearly dies and is buried in Kever Rachel. And Yaakov, we know, is buried in the Meribah HaMechpelah. Does anyone know, but you're enjoying the Shir live on the Zoom, or you're listening on Mayu Torah, when did Leah die? This is 9th through Shir, do you understand? Because I'm going over the Pesukim where Yaakov died, I remember a question that I thought of this afternoon. And I told the person I was learning with in the private session, I'm like, I don't have an answer to this. I just realized something I never thought of before. So this doesn't have to do with the topic of tonight's Shir. But when did Leah die? Am I forgetting something in Chumash? I don't think so. Leah died only shortly after Rachel. So I would like to know if somebody has a source. I would like to see a source. Is it a Medrash? Where is it brought down? If somebody knows, I would be very interested to see. I want to see a source, please. Even if it's a link to an article that has a source. If you know, if it's a Medrash or a Gemara or something, I'm interested. When did Leah die? It's not recorded in the Torah or in Rashi to Chumash. And when was she buried in the Meribah HaMechpelah? Okay, let's now go back to the screen share where we are holding. Okay, so could you see that I am back in Bereishis Perek Nun? Yes, thank you very much. Okay, so they go and they bury father. Fine. Very clearly, Vayusu also banav Arzakanan v'yikbu also b'marat zdeh mechpelah. But we are told very clearly that he's buried in the Meribah HaMechpelah, which Avram ba. Okay, they come back to Egypt, Yosef and his brothers and everyone who went up to bury father after they buried father. And the brothers of Yosef see that their father died. And they say, oh, now Yosef is going to hate us. All these 17 years, it must be he was only nice to us. Because why? Father was still alive. So for Kibbut Av, he was nice to us. Now the father died. He's going to pay us back all the bad we did. He's finally going to take revenge. So they command to Yosef and they say, you know what? You should really be nice to us. And you should not take revenge against us, even though father died. Why? Kosamru the Yosef, because they say, Avchit avichat sivalifne moso lemur. They say to Yosef, do you know that your father, Yaakov, commanded before his death, saying, Kosamru the Yosef, so you, the brothers, the 10 brothers, should say to Yosef, Ana sana pesha achecha v'chatasam kira gemucha v'ata sana the pesha avdeo ke avicha v'yev ki Yosef v'dabram elav. The brothers come and they have a message for Yosef. The message is, Yosef, do you know that your father, before he died, said, you know, you should forgive the sin and the iniquity of your brothers, and you should forgive the bad that they did to you, and you should be mevater, and you should forgive, and you should overlook, and you should carry their sin, their iniquity. And Yosef's crying. And his brothers went, and they fell before him, and they say, we'll be your servants. And Yosef says, do not be afraid. Am I instead of God? Meaning, Hashem planned this. Why are you afraid I'm going to take revenge? This is all min Hashemayim. You thought it was for the bad. Hashem thought it was for the good. In order to establish today a great nation, do not be afraid. I will sustain you and your children. And he comforted them and he spoke to us. By the way, for whoever was on Wednesday night, sure, I thought of another proof in the middle of the night by Rabbi Akiva. Makos Chof Dalet Beis, after he speaks to his colleagues, Akiva Nechamtanu, Akiva Nechamtanu, we have the same Lashon by Yosef, and Nechemusam by Yidaber Alibam, that same sentence could be made about Rabbi Akiva and by Yosef. So it's another connection I thought about in the middle of the night, not when I was teaching Shir, but it relates very beautifully to Shir. Fine. Okay, so what's interesting here is they say that Father commanded they should say this, but the truth is Father never commanded this. Father did not command, here we go, one second. Father did not command that they should ever say this to Yosef. Because Yosef, he was not, Yaakov was not Choshe B'Ksherim, that Yosef would ever take revenge. So Father did not command this. But the brothers come along and they're like, oh, you know what? Father commanded, and they make up this whole story. And it's not true. So Rashi says, look at Rashi on this side of the screen, Avchi Avicha Tziva, Shinu b'davar mipnei shalom. They changed the words. They changed the reality. They made it up. They told an untruth for the sake of peace. Ki lo tziva Yaakov kein. Yaakov did not command this. Shalom nechshad Yosef b'enav. Yaakov is not worried that Yosef is going to take revenge because Yaakov knows the type of person Yosef is. The brothers made it up. And instead of condemning their behavior, Chazal condoned their behavior. Shinu b'davar mipnei shalom. They changed the matter for the sake of peace. One more source, a similar time where we see this, is earlier in the book of Bereishis. I now switch to Bereishis Perek Yud Ches. So we're going back in time, a few generations. And in Perek Yud Ches, the Malachim come to the tent of Avram and Sarah with this unbelievable news. You're not going to believe it, and Sarah Taka does not believe it. But even though they're 99 and 89, the Malachim come after wishing Avram Refuah Shleima, and Avram does some Echnasas Archim, Vayom Meshav Ashu Ve'lecha Keis Chai V'hinei Ben Lesar Yishtecha. So the Malach says, you should know, I will surely return to you at this time next year, and behold, there will be a son to Sarah, your wife, V'sar Shomash Pasecha Ol V'lecharav, and Sarah is hearing what's going on. Now the Torah takes a little break to narrate and tell you, Avram and Sarah were old. They were coming on in years. Chadal yos to Sarah, orach kanashim. It had ceased to be to Sarah the way of woman. What is orach kanashim? Rashi says right here, orach nidos. She no longer had her menstrual cycle. They were old. She was not a youthful person anymore, not in age and not in physical ability. So therefore, she doesn't believe this. Vatitzchak Sarah bekirba lemar. Sarah laughed at her insides and she says, Echarei velosi, haisi le'edna v'adoni zakin. What? Sarah says. How is it possible? After I am withered and dried up, will I become youthful again? And my husband, my master, is also old. We're both old. Immediately, Vayom Hashem al Avram. Hashem says to Avram, Lama zetzachaka Sarah. Why did Sarah laugh? Lamor saying, Ha'af umnam eled vaniza kanti. Now, Sarah said she's old, not in those exact words, but she said, Acharei velosi haisi li anna. After I am dried up and withered, will I become youthful again? So that is implying that she is too old to bear a child, like we saw in Rashi, Oroch Kanashim, Oroch Nidos. She does not have her Nida cycle anymore. And then she says, Adoni Zakin. And then Hashem goes to Avram and he says, you know, why did Sarah laugh? Why did Sarah say, is it possible that I will give birth and I am old? Now she did say she's old, not in those exact words, but by saying that she no longer has a cycle and makes her able to conceive, she's old. But Hashem conveniently leaves off the fact that she added Adoni Zakin. So Rashi says, it's Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Gimel. You see Rashi here. Shina hakasub mipnei shalom. Sharei himra v'adoni zaki. Once again, we have the same principle. The language is changed. And this time, it's not the brothers. It's not a basar v'adam. It's a kosh baruch hu. Shina b'davar mipnei shalom. Shina hakasub mipnei shalom. So we began in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The final Mishnah in Perek Av teaches us, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel teaches us, the world stands, the world is Kayam, exists, upheld on three things, Ala Din, Vala Emes, Vala Sham. And we gave many proofs in just a 1.5 minute span of time on how important Emes is for the life of a Torah Jew. However, Achon, Achon, Chaviv, the Mishnah sums up by telling you, you must have Shalom. And even in the Pasuk that the Mishnah quotes, that the Tana quotes from Zechariah, look at the order, Emes u Mishpat Shalom shiftu b'sha'arichem. Emes and Mishpat are switched. Vashalom comes last in both cases. Achon, achon, chaviv. And what we are speaking about tonight, and the reason I chose this Mishnah, is because one of the final lessons, and there are many final lessons in the Book of Bereishis, but one of them is the importance of Shalom. How do we know? Because when the brothers come back from Egypt, and now they're afraid Yosef's going to take revenge, they make up a whole story. What's the story? Father said, you should forgive us. No, father never said that. Father didn't suspect Yosef. Going back earlier in the Book of Bereishis, furthermore, we find talk of the very same idea, but not about a Basar Vidom, but rather, Bobby's here. Do you want to say hi? There's Bobby. 1 second, she's already smiling.
Where? Oh, hi, Bobby.
Okay, so in the first case, we actually have a Kosh Baruch Hu himself. He goes to Avram and says, she said Adoni Zake, and she really said, no, Ani Zakanti, but she really said Adoni Zake. So how do we understand that Emes is a very important principle in Yahadus, but Shalom sometimes seems to be a more important principle in Yahadus? I mean, is it Emesic what the brothers did? Is it objectively emes what they said? Clearly it's not, because Chazal say it's not. Shina b'davrim and Pnei HaShalom. It's hard to say this, but HaKosh Baruch Hu's chosim is emes. I quoted on the beginning of the shir, Shabbos nun hei. But nevertheless, he changes the words. I quote from the great thinker, scholar, intellectual, leader and rabbi, Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, Zichrono Levracha. The Torah warns us in the book of Exodus, Parshas Mishpatim, which I quote in the beginning of this year, Midvar Sheker Tirchak. You should stay far away from a falsehood. Is it permitted to tell what we would call in English a white lie? He gives an example that I don't know if when he wrote it had so much relevance, but in the aftermath of October 7th, Rachmana Litzlan, this example is very powerful. If a murderer is at large, brandishing a gun, and his intended victim takes refuge in your house, and the murderer knocks on your door and says, is so-and-so here? Are you obligated to tell the truth? Now, we might think that's ridiculous. Why would you do that? Pikuach nefesh is docha akol. That's totally anti-Torah. But are you telling the truth? He quotes Immanuel Kant, K-A-N-T, who he calls the greatest philosopher of modern times. Maybe some of you are familiar with his works. I am not. But what he's showing you is how Torah viewpoint of Emes and Shalom differs from the world viewpoint of Emes and Shalom. Immanuel Kant, the greatest philosopher of modern times, said, yes, you should always tell the truth, whatever the consequences. So even if Avram is going to get upset, not that he will, but I don't know what exact words to use. Even if Avram will be insulted, I don't know exactly what words to use, okay, please forgive me, that Sarah said he's old, you have to say the truth, because it's the truth. So how could you make up a lie about father said if he never said? Shalom cannot justify an untruth. Permitting a lie in one case, according to Kant, would involve permitting it in all cases, which would rob all communication of trustworthiness. So in other words, once you start to lie, you're on a slippery slope of becoming a liar, and no one ever is going to trust you ever. So therefore, you should never tell a lie, even if the murderer knocks on your door and says, such and such here, and you know you're hiding him, and the murderer doesn't know, you should say, yes, he's here. Now for Yahadus, we don't live like that. We don't do that. I don't think anyone here would think that you should say, yes, he's here. Judaism, however, says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, says no. Not only is it permitted to tell a white lie to save a life, it is permitted to do so for the sake of peace. The sages, he say, derive this from two episodes. One in Parshas Vayechi. Yaakov has died. The brothers fear that Yosef will now take revenge for the fact that they sold him into slavery. So they come up with a strategy. We looked at the Psukim, so I'm not going to say them. He quotes them in English. There is no evidence, says Rabbi Sacks, that Jacob ever said the words attributed to him. The sages assume that, in fact, the brothers told an untruth, And therefore they conclude, and they say, Shina Badavar, it is permitted to change the matter and to change words for the sake of peace. Rabbi Sacks calls this to tell a white lie. They find evidence for this in an earlier source as well. We looked at the Psukim as well. When three visitors come to Abram in his old age, announce in a year time Sarah will have a child. Sarah laughs, I'm all worn out, and my husband is odd. God says, Sarah disbelieves, she laughs. Why did Sarah laugh and say, will I have a child now that I am odd? Thus, the sages conclude, even God himself may change the truth for the sake of peace. Rabbi Sacks points out something very, very interesting. In order to understand a civilization, a culture, a religion, a people, it is necessary not only to know the values and the virtues that are fundamental. Someone comes and says to you, what are fundamental values and virtues in Judaism? It's an interesting question. Probably no one ever asked us that. But if someone come along and said, you know, tell me the top three, the top five. What are the top five values and virtues, fundamental to Judaism? It would be an interesting exercise. It is not only necessary to know the values and virtues that a civilization embraces, but you also must know the order of priority amongst them. So in other words, not only the values and virtues, but what takes precedence? What is most important? What has more weight than something else? Many cultures value freedom and equality. The difficult question is, which takes precedence? Freedom or equality? He gives an example of two different types of systems or societies. Communism, they value equality more than freedom. Laissez-faire capitalism values freedom more than equality. Both of those statements are absolutely true. Communism values equality. Everyone is equal. Everything is shared. No one owns anything. Well, the government and all the top officials own everything. But on paper, no one knows everything and everyone is equal. They value that much more than freedom. On the other hand, laissez-faire capitalism values freedom much more than equality. Not everyone is equal. Different people earn different things. Different people have different jobs. Different people have different size farms. The person with a larger farm and a larger yield and more crops will have more than the person with the smaller farm and the smaller crops and the smaller yield. They share the same ideals, on paper at least. They both value freedom and equality. But because they assign importance to one over the other, or more importance to one over the other, they result in completely different societies. In Judaism, says Rabbi Sacks, truth and truthfulness are fundamental values. So it's just dangerous because I don't think anyone's going to do that. That's not what Rabbi Sacks means, and that's not what the Mishnah or the Shina B'davar M'pnei Hashem means, and it's not what I mean. But you have to be careful. Doesn't mean you could leave her and start becoming a lawyer. I don't think anyone believes that, but I just need to put it out there in case. You know, like on the beverages today, Lahavdel of Dallas, like coffee cups from certain stores say, caution, this cup contains a hot beverage. So they want to save themselves from being sued. So if it spills on you, you were warned. Now, if you ordered a hot coffee, I don't know exactly what else you think the beverage contains and how could it be their fault. But no one should leave thinking now it could be a lawyer. That's not what any of this means. But through the lens of Torah, it is sometimes necessary to change the truth for the sake of peace. When in doubt, ask a Rav, if you're really in doubt. Don't leave here and start lying. Oy vey. Peace, says Rabbi Sacks, takes precedence over truth. Truth and truthfulness are fundamental values in Judaism. We went through the beginning in 1.5 minutes. I told you many examples. The sages, he quotes it, I quoted for you before, define truth as the signature of God. Yet truth is not the highest value in Judaism. Peace, shalom is. I also think that this peace is so, no pun intended, P-I-E-C-E, is not only related to the Mishnah, clearly, And not only it ties into the parsha, but we currently live in a world that lacks any imagery of peace. It doesn't exist, not in reality, not in our imaginations. Amos doesn't exist either. But peace certainly doesn't exist. And in Judaism, ironically, the highest value is peace. The prophets of ancient Israel, says Rabbi Sacks, were the first in history to see peace as an ideal. The prophets of ancient Israel were the first in history to see peace as an idea. Because virtually every culture until modern times was militaristic. Heroes were mighty men of valor who fought and died in the field of battle. Legends were about great victories in war. Conflict, whether it was conflict between the gods or elements of nature, was written into the human script. Against this backdrop, the prophets of ancient Israel, the Nevi'im, introduced peace as one of the highest ideals. And that's why Yeshayahu says in the very famous Psukim in Perek Beis, he will judge between nations, he will settle disputes, they will beat their swords into plowshares, some of the most famous Psukim from Sefer Yeshayahu, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. This vision of a world at peace was not centuries ahead of time, it was millennia ahead of its time. And it's something we're still seeking. And it's something that is still elusive, that escapes us. So many people lack peace in their personal lives, Rechamana Litzlan. There are three aspects of peace. Peace bein Adam l'makom. Shleimus. We call that Shleimus in Avodas Hashem. Adam Shalim. Vayavo Yaakov Shalim Yerushchem. Yaakov was Shalim. Shalom begufo, shalom b'mamono, shalom b'sarasov, says Rashi. We need shleimus, which is obviously the root word of shalem, shalom, between us and God. In order to be a Torah yid, you need to strive for shleimus. Doesn't mean I never will make a mistake. Sometimes I will make a mistake. Sometimes I will lack shleimus. But striving for shleimus ben adam l'makom. We need peace ben adam l'chaveiro. Striving for shleimus between man and fellow man, which is the dogma of what the brothers changed the reality for the sake of peace between man and fellow man, then I'm Yosef. And we need shleimus ben Adam la'atzmo. In today's frenetic, anxiety-driven, chaotic and upside-down world, one of the hardest types of shalom to attain is the shleimus bein adam la'atzmo. A sense of tranquility and peace, hishtavus ha'nefesh, equanimity of the soul within myself. The world around us is storming, mamish storming. Olam hafuch ra'isi p'sachem nun aleph, nun amar aleph, not nun aleph. And all three areas of peace are lacking and are shattered in many cases. For many, because of the travails of Galus and the confusion and the battle with the Yetzer Hara, we lack shleimus between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For many, we don't know sometimes how to make shalom bein adam l'chaveiro. And for often and often, for some, the inner tranquility, it's not for naught that it's called in English peace of mind, which is the bein adam la'atzmo aspect, is also lacking. In addition to all that, the highest ideal in Judaism, which is shalom, achron, achron, chaviv, din, emes, and shalom, is lacking from the world in which we live. It escapes our nation generation after generation. And it's something that we still seek out. Rabbi Sacks says, something very, very interesting. Why, says Rabbi Sacks, can we not understand true peace? It's a very interesting chiddush. No, I said it wrong. Why cannot we understand? Why can we not understand absolute MS? I said, why can't we understand true peace? Rewind. Remember the olden days when you would rewind? Why is it impossible for a man to grasp absolute MS? And therefore, in Yahado, sometimes it's okay to change or deviate from MS for the sake of peace. Isaacs explained something very, very interesting. MS is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We already quoted the Gemara a number of times in Shabbos Nun Hei. Chos Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is MS. Only from Hashem's vantage point, says Rabbi Sacks, can we have absolute truth. Because the seal of God is truth, and we do not enter the world of the Ribbono Shel Olam while we're in Olam Hazeh, we cannot fully understand absolute truth. Because absolute truth, capital A, capital T, is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And there is no one in this world who can understand the absoluteness and the emes and the truth of God. It's a beautiful chiddush. That's why we can understand truth absolutely. And since we can understand truth absolutely, because absolute truth is God, does anyone understand God? Rabbi Tzin Kanievsky al-Alshom used to say, Darche Hashem kulam tovim, below kulam vunim. The ways of Hashem are all good, but the ways of Hashem are not all understood. I saw an article with a picture at the Levaya of Elisha Yehonatan Lobo, Hashem Yukom Damo, who was 24 years old, who was married with a toddler, and his wife is expecting a child in 2 months, B'Sha'a Tova. And it was a front row of mourners. I didn't even put on my status. It was so painful just seeing that picture. His wife is holding her child, and she must be sitting next to her mother. I don't know if it's her father, grandfather. You can't understand truth in this world, because truth is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And since we can't understand the Kodesh Baruch Hu, we can't understand truth. Okay. You need something right now? Okay, a couple more minutes. Thank you. Says Rabbi Sacks, the way to peace is to realize our grasp of truth is partial, fragmentary, incomplete. While we are in this world, we cannot grasp absolute emes. So let's say there's a dispute between two sides. And this one says, I'm absolutely right. And this says, I'm absolutely right. The truth is, neither could say I'm absolutely right, because you don't know what the absolute truth is, the absolute emes, because only a Kodesh Baruch Hu knows absolute emes. Since we can't understand the Kodesh Baruch Hu, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is emes, we have to strive for peace. How do we strive for peace? Zub shar v'lifni mishur sadin. Compromise and beyond the letter of the law. Go with the spirit of the law. Only Kodesh Baruch Hu is absolute truth. And therefore, says Rabbi Sacks, the way to peace is to realize that our grasp of truth, we think we know absolute truth. No, we don't. You can never know absolute truth, because Kodesh Baruch Hu is truth, and we don't understand God. Yehonatan Lobo's wife, she said in her hasbed, in her tearful hasbed, the birth is in 2 months, and I am not going alone. You are coming with me, she said to her husband. The way to peace is to realize our grasp of truth is partial, fragmentary, incomplete. This is the human condition. Truth matters, says Rabbi Sacks. But peace matters more. So, in order to maintain shalom, they were in Galus. The Shiva Mitzrayim is about to start. Not about to, but in Chumash terms, about to start. What did they need to survive? They needed shalom between themselves. And therefore, the brothers changed the words. Shina b'davram p'nei Hashem. And Kodesh Baruch Hu is maskim to this. Now he's a Kodesh Baruch Hu maskim. He's the one who introduces the concept way back by Avram and Sarah. And we have a mitzvah to emulate God. Velachta bedrachav, so to yudar alvin Shabbos kuflam gemamad beis. Mahu av ata, velachta bedrachav, lalech achamiko, dos of shal kosh baruchu. What are one of the midos of a kosh baruchu that he demonstrates for the sake of men? Sometimes, in olam hazeh, where we cannot fully grasp truth, because truth equals, MS equals a kosh baruchu, we can't grasp that. Sometimes it's necessary, because like Rabbi Sacks says, the way to peace is to realize that our grasp of truth is partial, fragmentary, incomplete. It's just part of the human condition. Truth matters. It matters very, very much. Don't leave here and start becoming a liar. I'll tell you, if I leave a message, if I have to call, whatever, which isn't so rare that I have to make phone calls, but sometimes I do. And if I have to leave a message and it's 10:53, I don't like to say it's 10:50 and I don't like to say it's 11 a.m., so what should I say, 10:53? They're going to think I'm nuts. Who leaves a message saying it's 10:53 on Wednesday morning? So I say it's shortly before 11 a.m. Or if it's 10:33, I'll say it's about 10:30 a.m. Truth matters very, very much. But sometimes peace matters more. That is Judaism. That is Judaism's considered judgment. Listen to what he says next. And think of Rachman on the world today. Many of the greatest crimes in history were committed by those who believed they were in possession of truth, while their opponents were sunk in error. Now, we look at the world. It hasn't been calm for a few years, but since October 7th, it went into complete disaster mode. Many of the greatest crimes in history were committed by those who believed they were in possession of truth, while their opponents were sunk in error. And we think we own absolute truth, and our opponent is always wrong, and we think we're God. Only God owns absolute truth. To make peace between husband and wife, Avram and Sarah, and between your brothers, Yosef and Yaakov's other sons, the Torah sanctions a statement that is less than the whole truth. Is it dishonest? No. Is it tactful? Is it sensitive? Is it done with discretion? Yes. Because that is an idea that is both sensible and humane. Again, we do have to be careful. I'm not going to start leaving messages if it's 10:53 saying it's 10:50. But there are some times when we have to understand that no person in Olam Hazeh owns the absolute truth. Only Kosh Baruch Hu owns the absolute truth. And there are times when it's necessary, since both ideals are fundamental in Judaism. But peace is a little bit more important. And so our Amida ends with Shalom. Our Birkas Kohanim ends with Shalom. Our benching ends with Shalom. Because the highest blessing, like Rashi says, Im Ein Shalom, Ein Klum. There's no Shalom, there's nothing. And who do we learn this from? The Malamed Torah La'amo Yisrael. The one who teaches Torah to his nation Israel teaches us that in order to strive for peace, sometimes we have to bend the truth. Between us and Kosh Baruch Hu, no. Bein Adam l'makom, shleimus. Bein Adam l'chaveiro, more often than not. Bein Adam l'atzmo, if the davna Kosh Baruch Hu should bless us with that degree of shalom, especially in a world that is storming. This shir should be, we wish Lior Zamek a mazel tov on the occasion of her birthday, and also a zchus for the shirech of Lior Netanya Bas Rachel, Bekarov Bimheira. We thank Marilyn and Neil Gittuman, Neil Gittuman, MD and Associates Pediatrics, Lakewood, New Jersey, for sponsoring the shir, the Zecher Nishmas, Shlomo Shmuel Ben Yitzchak, and Branya Bas Dov, Aleya Masham, Bos Neshama Shalav Zechiros, and Elias Latova, and finally Miriam Nussbaum, who is sponsoring Bo Bayam, the day of the Yurtzeit, Yud Zayin Tevis, the Zecher Nishmas, Alan Nussbaum, Asher Ben Eli Ezra, Zechon of the Rech. I wish everybody a week for La Amenu, La Artsenu, a week of Besuras Tovos, Yeshuos, and Ba'azor Hashem Shabbat Shalom. Thank you so much. Kol Tov to all. Besuras Tovos.